So strange how you don't know how much you miss a place until you get back in that place and you listen to the organ booming out the old 100th and you're just like, wow, I have so missed worshiping and seeing all of you. So it is good indeed to be back. The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with all of you.
And also with you.
So I don't know about you, but I love Jacob. He is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And I think I love him because he doesn't fit the stereotype biblical holy man. Jacob is a scoundrel. He's a con man. Jacob is, he's a hustler, isn't he? I mean, on two separate occasions with the help of his mother, because even apparently biblical patriarchal families were completely dysfunctional. Two times, Jacob cheats his own brother out of his blessing from his father and his birthright. Jacob's mother, Rebekah, has to contrive a way for Jacob to get out of town for a while to live with his uncle Laban, whom Jacob also, by the way, cheats out of both daughters and most of the livestock. So poor Jacob heads north on his own into the hill country without even a pillow for a head, without even a pillow for his head. And in a certain place, he lies down and he falls in a deep sleep. I don't think that Jacob really deserved what came next to him. He was on the lam, after all. He was not on a vision quest. What came next, to me, is empirical proof that the grace and love of God is really for everyone, not just for those who imagine that they are deserving. What came next was the dream from the great dream weaver in a place that is no place, on the way not to the promised land, but to Haran, to one undeserving and unprepared. His dream was that famous dream, that storied dream of a ladder that extended from earth into heaven, and Jacob sees the angels of God shimmering and shining up and down the ladder. And then in the way that dreams seem to go, out of nowhere, God is suddenly beside him, and God says, "Remember that I am with you, and that I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Now, I probably would have written the story a little bit differently. The dream would have been a wake-up call for Jacob, and God would have sounded more like the voice of the Wizard of Oz. "Jacob, you need to clean up your act before you get to Haran, or else." Right? But God, as always, has something different in mind than I have. And God does not hold anything back, even for Jacob. So Jacob awoke from the dream at Bethel, and he received the gift of the dream for what it was, a gift of grace from God. And he announced, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Out in the middle of nowhere, on the run to nowhere. Do you know what you find if you dig beneath the surface in a lot of these ancient stories in Genesis? You find dreamers, dreamers everywhere. God's covenant with Abraham came where? In a dream. The dreams of Joseph, who became a ruler in Egypt, save God's people. Even Joseph, the father of Jesus, who dreamed the Holy Family into refuge in Egypt. Those dreams sustained Israel as a people who came to understand themselves through those dreams, as a people who were given a blessing not for themselves to hoard, but a blessing so that they might bless the whole world. all the families of the earth. What Jacob discovered in his dream is that God can pretty much set up a ladder between earth and heaven anywhere. That any place and every place on earth can be holy ground. I mean, that's the point of these mini altars that we have. We've got a real decked out one made by Megan right up here to remind us about our mini altars, right? That's the main theme of the series. And the mini altars that I seem to keep forgetting to carry around to remind me to what? To mark the places where we meet God. What Jacob learns is that we don't have to choose. You don't have to choose between sacred and secular. You don't have to choose between church and world. Last night at the iftar that we celebrated in Fellowship Hall with our friends, I talked with some of our Muslim neighbors, and we decided together that it was the same God who created us all. There are many beautiful expressions of faith, no doubt, but there is only one house. And somehow, some way, we all have to learn to live in this one house together. Amen? Amen? So where is Bethel for you? Where's your Bethel? Where's the place where God's dreams for you are just so real and so vivid that you can't tell those dreams from waking? Maybe you can't find your way back to them, or maybe they're kind of simmering on a back burner somewhere, or maybe they're just out there ahead of you, which is fine. I mean, dreaming sounds really easy, and it sounds kind of dreamy, but dreaming has fallen on hard times, I think. Nobody really talks much about dreams anymore. When was the last time somebody shared a dream with you? I had a dream last night. Lisa, you can interpret this later for me. I was standing in a church with all of you, but the church was shaped in a different way. It was kind of like with a lot of staircases and maybe ladders, because I was thinking about Jacob. And I was reading from the worship bulletin, except the worship bulletin appeared to be in hieroglyphics. And I was having difficulty getting out the words to the call to worship. And so I read the first few words, and then I stopped. And one of the children who was standing right there said, "Pastor John, my dad says that's not a real call to worship." Which, of course, is what would have happened here, right? And so I looked to the staff for help, and they were scattered out on the steps. And so their way of helping me was to fold their bulletins up into paper airplanes and shoot them toward me. And that's kind of when I woke up from the dream. Dreaming. Who pays attention to dreams these days, right? I mean, they're kind of crazy. I guess that was an anxiety dream about worship or something. I don't know what it was. But we've been taught that reality is what we can hold in our hands, that reality is what we can prove, and that dreams are for children, and there's no time for dreaming because there is work to be done. So I remember another dream that I had. I was sitting in worship in my hometown church in Toronto. I was probably 13 or 14. And I had a vivid daydream. It was during worship. And I dreamt, of all things, I dreamt that I was a pastor. And that I was doing all of the things that the pastor up at the front was doing. And I was imagining, daydreaming, what the pastor did after the worship service and what the pastor did during the week and how the pastor prepared the sermon. And I thought it all at 13 or 14 sounded kind of cool to me. And then I promptly forgot about it. Didn't pay much attention to the dream until almost 15 years later, someone on the Board of Ordained Ministry during my examinations asked me, "John, we know that you love God, but do you really feel that you are called into ministry?" And I remembered that dream. When I think of great dreamers, my mind heads straight to Dr. King. Does yours? Into that speech that he delivered in 1963 at the March on Washington. You know, it was the speech that almost didn't happen. All of the great civil rights leaders of the day were there, including Roy Wilkins and John Lewis. And there was music by wondrous singers like Marian Anderson and Mahalia Jackson. Each speaker, if you can imagine, was given 5 minutes to speak. Can you imagine telling Dr. King, you have 5 minutes? And King didn't think that he could fit into 5 minutes what he wanted to say, and then also this dream metaphor that he'd been thinking about. He worked feverishly on the speech, and he finished the draft at 4 a.m. the day before the march, and he gave the draft to his aides to type up. The draft did not contain the words, "I have a dream." Wasn't in there. King began his speech from the prepared text, but about 10 or so minutes into the text, he was following the spirit. He began to improvise, and if you look at the YouTube video, you can see it, because in the last 5 minutes of that speech, I think he looks at his notes one time. Nearby, off to the side, Mahalia Jackson shouted at that point to King, "Tell them about the dream, Martin. Tell them about the dream." In an interview later, King said, "All of a sudden, this thing came to me that I've used many times before. That thing about I have a dream. That thing about I have a dream." And then he said in the speech, "I say to you today, my friends, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream." And he was off and running, delivering one of the most moving speeches, a speech that continues to inspire civil rights workers to this day. So what happens to our dreams when they're pressed down, when they're pushed away, when they're almost forgotten? What happens? Have you ever tried to hold a beach ball underwater at the swimming pool? It just keeps popping up, doesn't it? I'm thinking dreams are like that. In fact, I'm counting on this, that you can't hold them down for long, because they're not just your dreams. They're God's dreams, God's hopes. They're not just the dreams of what we might do as individuals someday, but they're dreams of what we can do together now. And they cannot be suppressed for long. Dreams of our shared humanity. Dreams of a healed earth. Dreams of a more just church. Amen? And a more just nation. Dreams of compassion and welcome toward all people. Dreams that the bright rungs of God's ladder will one day touch down for all of God's children. Those kind of dreams. My friends, may we hear God's voice through our dreams. I am with you. I am for you. I will not leave you. And listen to this. May we not be undone by the spirit of this age, which says, "Oh, your voice doesn't matter. It's too small. Your witness, it's insignificant. You're wasting your time. Your dreams, oh, those are impractical. Those are idealistic. You need to get real." My friends, may you and I continue to dream against the odds. May we continue to dream those great dreams. May we invite others into those dreams, because out of our dreams, new realities are born and new life emerges. So, sweet dreams, my friends. Sweet dreams. Amen? Amen. Amen.